Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Another week, let's have at it. Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS is the number if you want to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always hit me up via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, that's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, or on our network's account, at CBS Sports Radio. Coming up 59 minutes from now, it's the QB carousel. We'll see where we land on today, what two cities we'll be going to, as we continue to break down each and every QB position situation in the National Football League over the next few weeks. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process, with the loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Ryan Tracicky along the other way, and we'll take you all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. We're going to do a lot of football talk today. We got to start in the NBA, though. And when we get to basketball, we need to start off with the team that is making the biggest impression in the NBA so far and has maybe the most upside with the way that their roster is positioned and the way that their roster is built with the Brooklyn Nets. Because when we look at the landscape of the NBA and what was the NBA going into this season, it was dynamic duos. It was Embiid and Simmons in Philadelphia. It was with the Celtics, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. When you look at Miami, it was Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Milwaukee, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and also Chris Middleton. You go to the Western Conference, you had the dynamic duo of LeBron and AD, Kawhi, Paul George, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Damian Lillard, and also CJ McCollum. And in the Eastern Conference, when you go back there, you had Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And going into the year with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, Kyrie coming off injuries, Kevin Durant coming off injuries, Kyrie not knowing where his head is at, those were some concerns going into this year. Now, there wasn't a concern or a great concern on my behalf with Kevin Durant, because I thought Kevin Durant was going to come back and he was going to play at a really high level and he was going to get back to a top three, top five player in the sport. But going into the season, we heard all the rumors. We heard all the conversations. We heard all the drama that was emanating in Houston, how James Harden, no bones about it, no secrets, he wanted out of the Houston Rockets. And who was the first team that we heard James Harden wanted to go to? Because if you remember, when you had the initial report that Russell Westbrook wanted to go out and wanted to leave Houston and you break up that dynamic duo, James Harden, in the first 24 hours, the reports were he wanted to stay. He was all bought in to remaining with the Houston Rockets. And then something changed in the first 48 hours. And no, this is not the murder mystery show. But in the first 48, something changed. And right away, you heard, once he made that decision, he did not want to remain with the Rockets. Brooklyn was at right at the top of his list. And through that, you heard other teams. Heard a little bit of Denver. But mainly, you heard that after the Nets, it was the Sixers. And we all know what did transpire. You waited. Harden blasted his teammates and got his way out. And for three first-round picks and, what, four pick swaps. And you then see Jared Allen and Caris LeVert depart the roster. James Harden went to Brooklyn. And the initial reaction of James Harden in Brooklyn, I was a little bit taken aback by it. I was a little bit surprised how much negativity there was. And maybe it had to do with something of the fact that people didn't like the departure of James Harden, the way that it went down in Houston. And we've seen this constant trend in the NBA. Players in one spot, players under contract in one spot. Paul George got his way out. Anthony Davis got his way out. And maybe people are growing tired of that trend. And I didn't love how James Harden did go about it. So that's plausible. And also, I think people looked at Kyrie and how polarizing Kyrie is. And where James Harden's image was at for what did happen in the last 3-4 weeks before the trade. I think people just assume, too many egos. It's not going to work. There's only one basketball. And I felt like I was in the minority when I picked the Nets to get to the championship before the season started. And I'm not going to pat myself on the back for it. But once they got James Harden, if I picked him before the year to get to the championship, I'm not saying win it, but get to the finals, and then they end up getting a better player, and they have three out of the top 10 players in the league when all are healthy, why would I back off from that? And the only thing I was mildly concerned about, and I did think that the risk was worth the reward, the only thing I was mildly concerned about wasn't how James Harden and Kevin Durant were going to get along. It wasn't how Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant were going to get along. It was, how is James Harden and Kyrie Irving going to be able to coexist? But still, even if there were a few bumps in the road, I thought it was a risk worth taking. And I was surprised how many people called in right away and how many people told me, Zach, hey, you got no clue what you're talking about here. There's no way this is going to work. And let me be clear, just because it's working now, I'm not ready to proclaim this as this great success. If the Nets don't win a championship in the next 2 years, and then one of these players walk, it's a failure with all that you gave up for James Harden. But what is happening right now, it's working, and it's clearly working better than what anyone or the majority of people could have imagined. Now, I'll get back to Harden in just a second, but let's get to the game that did go down last night. And that was the Nets and the Clippers. No Kevin Durant. You had Harden, you had Kyrie. And we've seen the Nets in their last three games. No Durant, no Kyrie. James Harden got the job done in resilient fashion up against the Suns. You look up against the Lakers. No KD, no Anthony Davis. Nets still found a way to get the dub. But in this game up against the Clippers, you had Paul George for most of the game. You had Kawhi Leonard, and the Nets were missing Kevin Durant, who was still out nursing that hamstring injury. And throughout most of that game, as the Nets are now winners of 6 in a row, and they've 5-0 on this West Coast road trip, you saw the Nets not even at 100% be the better team. And I was surprised how close it was at the end. I know anything could happen in any NBA game. Heck, it's a typical NBA game. You're up 8 with 2 minutes to go. The next thing you know, there was a weak call at the end of the game. I'll even say that. I thought there was contact both ways on Kawhi Leonard and James Harden. And James Harden got an Oscar. You know, should get an Oscar for that acting performance. But they won. And they were the better team, and they should have won. Now, if you want to get on Kyrie a little bit, I don't know what he's doing shooting that ball 10, 11 seconds left in the shot clock with an unnecessary three attempt. And DeAndre Jordan, to his credit, bailed out his teammates and became the unexpected hero of that game. So before I get back into the point that I want to make about James Harden, let me just get one other point on the opposite side, and that's with the Clippers. I don't get what they did last night with Paul George. Now, I get you're managing your players' minutes. He's finally back. But when he played on, I think it was Friday night up against the Jazz, he went 27 minutes. They took him out. And that was his first game back. And they asked him after the game following the Utah game. And he said, guys, to be honest, it was the right decision because I don't think I could have gone 30. Then I take you to Sunday up against the Nets. He's played 33 minutes. So that's six more minutes he played. And they pull him with 2:50 to go. So essentially 3 minutes left in a 105-99 game. That doesn't make sense to me. If you're going to clearly eclipse 30 minutes, he couldn't go 36 minutes? He couldn't go three extra minutes? And after the game, he did change his tune from what it was on Friday where, yeah, it's the right call, I couldn't have gone 30, to I had no problem staying in the game and playing longer. Sure, it is, I guess, for the betterment of the long haul of the Los Angeles Clippers, and if they win a championship or if they get to the finals, no one's going to remember what is an irrelevant game, even though there's relevance in the moment now, but it's irrelevant in the big picture of a season. It doesn't make sense to me, though, if a guy could go 33 minutes, why he couldn't go three extra minutes. And I'm sure their doctors have all these analytics and all that, blah, 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 blah. Paul George shouldn't have been pulled from the basketball game last night. And when you're in a game like that, prime time, big game, Sunday night, and I say big game in air quotes because is there really such thing as a big NBA regular season game in late February? You couldn't have made up those 3 minutes and sit him for 3 minutes in the next game or the game after that or something along the lines. So I didn't love that. But that was a fun basketball game. And the Nets once again showed you, even not at full strength, they may be the best team in the NBA. Like, if you look at it right now, I think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. And in the Western Conference, I feel better when you look at who the Nets match up with. I feel better about the Nets right now than I do the Clippers and the Lakers. And Utah's been ridiculous. I'd like to see what happens if Utah faces some adversity, but I got to give Utah credit. All they do is hit from three. So this Brooklyn Nets team, it's working right now. And what's scary is we haven't even seen them at their full potential, because we haven't had many games where KD, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden have been able to play together. But the biggest piece here for the Nets, it's James Harden right now. And we talk about MVPs in sports, and when you get to MVP conversation, it usually turns into, and there's usually an ambiguous definition of what the MVP is. Usually the MVP goes to the best player, right? And if I ask you who's the best player on the Nets, you would say, without hesitation, Kevin Durant. But right now, with what we've seen so far this year, Kevin Durant is still the best player on the Nets. I would still say talent-wise and him being able to hit a shot anywhere on the court and him being essentially unguardable, KD's the best player on the Nets. He's top three player in the league. But it doesn't mean he's the most valuable. And James Harden right now is the most valuable player for the Brooklyn Nets for two reasons. Number one, and I think this is of the utmost importance, he's being the Mr. Nice Guy and having a smooth relationship with Kyrie Irving. Because if it did go down the way that we were told it from Kyrie, that Kyrie went up to James Harden and said, I'm the shooting guard, you're the point guard, with the clout that James Harden has in this league, he could have said no. He could have had a gripe with that. But he didn't. And when you put together three top 10 players in the league or three top 15 players in the league, you have to have someone that sacrifices. And James Harden right now is sacrificing and doing everything in his own power to make sure that the Brooklyn Nets have success. And his biggest priority is to make sure that he has a good relationship with Kyrie. Because as I said, when they made this deal for James Harden, there was no concern about my feelings on the relationship between Kevin Durant and James Harden. It was, what is the relationship going to be between James Harden and Kyrie Irving? And James Harden is doing everything he can in his power to make sure that this is a smooth sailing relationship. And also, he's been such a well-rounded player for the Nets. 15 out of the 18 games he's been there in Brooklyn. In 15 out of the 18, he's had 11 assists or more per game. And last night, he only had 7 assists. He also pours in, though, 37 points and 11 rebounds. So James Harden right now isn't the best player on the Nets, because you would still say, well, that's Kevin Durant, even though he's not playing. But James Harden is the MVP. And this is only in the infancy stages of this trio together. I really do believe the sky's the limit for this Brooklyn team. And right now, I know anything could happen, but if they stay healthy, I would be surprised if they're not in the NBA Finals. Because I trust Brooklyn. And I do believe they'll take it to the next level defensively, especially with Durant and Harden, when push comes to shove in the postseason. But I don't trust the Bucks right now. The Celtics aren't playing good basketball. Look what they did up against the Pelicans the other night. Another blown lead. And Philadelphia, I'm still skeptical about the Sixers. I thought before the year Brooklyn was going to the championship. Once they got James Harden, I doubled down and said, they're still going to be the team in the Eastern Conference against the NBA Finals. As I sit here on the 22nd day of February, as long as they stay healthy, Brooklyn, with KD, James Harden, and also Kyrie Irving, are going to the NBA Finals this year. Now, are they going to win it? We'll have to wait and see who they get. But they just beat the Lakers, and they just beat the Clippers, and we know how hot the Utah Jazz are. Are the Brooklyn Nets going to the NBA Finals this year? Yes or no? That's our poll question today, at Zach Gelb on Twitter, also at CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout when we come on back on the Zach Gelb Show. Who's the better quarterback? Who would you rather play with? Mac Jones or Tua Tagovailoa? A man that has a pretty big opinion and knows a thing or two about both those quarterbacks chimed in to an NFL executive, and we'll talk about that on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Thank you very much. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. You could think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Isn't it amazing? He didn't even get through one full NFL season as a starter. And think about the way the stock of Tua Tagovailoa right now has nationally plummeted. I take you back to last offseason. Going into this year of college football is what I should say. We had Mac Jones on right before the start of the college football season, and he didn't even know that he was going to be the starter yet. And some Alabama fans were trying to make sure that Bryce Young was going to be the starting quarterback. And Mac Jones, I don't want to say he had a Joe Burrow type of season, because what Burrow did was arguably, and I personally think, the greatest season I've ever seen from a college quarterback. But in theory, he went from a guy that was maybe going to be a fifth or a sixth round draft pick, and through one season, elevated himself into the first round. Now, Burrow took it all the way to the top. Mac Jones will be a first round pick. I would say he's either going to be, though, the fourth or fifth quarterback off the board. Because Trevor Lawrence, no doubt about it, will be number one. I would think Zach Wilson and Justin Fields are going to go in front of Mac Jones. I guess there can be a debate, though, between Trey Lance and Mac Jones. But Mac Jones put up statistically a great season, was a Heisman finalist, did not lose a game, and was a national champion. And if it wasn't for the fact that he had Devontae Smith on his roster, hey, maybe you could argue he doesn't have that much success, but if Devontae Smith didn't have the year that he had, Mac Jones would have won the Heisman. And that was a legitimate debate, who was going to win the Heisman. We thought it was either going to be Mac Jones or Devontae Smith, and a lot of people said Devontae Smith should win it, but we know the way that this award is usually given out. When it is close, it will usually go to a quarterback. And looking back at Devontae Smith before we get to the point on Devontae Smith's answer on who you'd rather have as a quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa or the aforementioned Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, we know the season he had this year was bonkers. It was one of the greatest seasons you'll ever see from a college football player in the history of the sport. And think about the greatness we've seen the last 2 years. You go from Joe Burrow, who put up arguably the greatest year we've ever seen from a quarterback, and then Devontae Smith put up arguably the greatest year we've ever seen from a wide receiver in college football. To give you a little perspective on this, and I've always been a Devontae Smith fan, I thought last year he was criminally underrated when everyone's talking about Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. It's almost as if people forgot that Devontae Smith was on the team, and he had 1,200-something yards that year. Now, this year he put up almost 1,900, and he had 23 total receiving touchdowns. You go back to the first few years of his career at Alabama, Devontae Smith total had 23 career receiving touchdowns. And he had a pretty enormous one in Tua Tagovailoa's game where he took over a second-half national championship game, because if you recall, that was a walk-off TD in overtime up against Georgia. Sorry, Georgia football fans. Where Devontae Smith, touchdown, as Eli Gold would say, Devontae Smith, as he had the game-winning touchdown. And usually when you have that game-winning touchdown national championship game, nothing's going to be able to top that. Oh, yeah, by the way, then the guy goes, wins the Heisman in his final year and had 3 touchdowns in that national championship game. And the first half, it was bonkers what he did in that first half. And if he didn't get hurt, I don't know, maybe he would have went for 1,000 yards receiving in that national championship game up against the Ohio State. But when you look back at the year he just had, 23 total touchdowns in his first 3 years at Alabama. In his final year, he had 23 touchdowns receiving in one season. That's wild. All receiving on those numbers when you look back at it. So I guess someone, according to Albert Breer, during the Senior Bowl, they're talking to Devontae Smith, and one team asked him, who do you think's better, point blank, Tua Tagovailoa or Mac Jones? Now, if we would have asked this question, I don't know, in October, right? October. I think it would be ludicrous, right, to say Mac Jones. Because even then, we didn't know what Mac Jones was going to be, even with the small sample size of SEC football underway. But when you go to this Albert Breer report, when one team asked Devontae Smith point blank, Tua Tagovailoa or Mac Jones, the question was barely finished before Smith answered, Mac Jones. And Breer says he was bold and definitive about it, as he heard. So I can look at this a few different ways. Now, clearly, Mac Jones is going to be forever linked, or Devontae Smith is going to be forever linked to Mac Jones and also to Tua Tagovailoa. But what are you going to think about first? Like, I ask you, Ryan Trace Hickey, when you hear Devontae Smith, are you going to think more about the year where he caught the game-winning touchdown pass in the national championship game thrown by Tua Tagovailoa, or are you going to think back to the year that he just had where he won the Heisman Trophy with Mac Jones throwing him the football?
I don't think we're being prisoner of the moment to say, like, you think of the Heisman Trophy season he had. Record-breaking, right?
Mm-hmm. I would, too. And he's the all-time leader in receiving touchdowns in the SEC for his career. It's crazy, and I think I said this, actually, right after the championship game. Any other kid probably in the nation, if you caught a game-winning touchdown pass in a national championship game, I don't care if it was your freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, senior, wherever it occurred, that's not only your college-defining moment, that's probably your life-defining moment. And who knows, maybe go on to a Super Bowl and he ends up winning a Super Bowl MVP, but the odds of that happening, I'm not saying he can't be a good player. I think the world's of it. I think he's going to be a really great player. But the odds of him topping a moment anywhere for the rest of his life on a football field than catching the game-winning walk-off touchdown pass in a national championship game are not good. And it didn't even take him to get to the NFL before he topped it. Because you're right. What he did this past year at Alabama, not that you forget about what he did in the national championship game, but you do put it in the rearview mirror. What he did up against Ohio State was the perfect exclamation point to cap off this season. And the kid only played a half. 12 receptions, 215 receiving yards, 215 receiving yards, and 3 receiving touchdowns. And that game was close until Devontae Smith said, yep, I just want to make sure I go into halftime and enjoy myself. It's absolutely wild. You look back at just the final 3 games, and we're talking about a regular season where up against LSU, he had 231 yards receiving. He had 203 up against Mississippi State. And he had 4 touchdowns in those 203 receiving yards up against Mississippi State. Take all that out of the equation. Look at just the final 3 games of his career. At Florida, that SEC title game when they had went up against Florida. 15 receptions, 184 receiving, and 2 touchdowns. Notre Dame in the semifinal, 7 for 130, 3 touchdowns. And as we said, Ohio State, final game of his career in college, 12 for 215 and 3 touchdowns in 1 half. It is remarkable what he just accomplished. What we just saw is a ridiculous level of greatness. And he has attachments to both Tua Tagovailoa, who he caught that game-winning touchdown from in the national championship game to take down Georgia. And clearly he has an attachment to this past year and bleeding over a little bit in the end of his junior year too when Tua got hurt to Mac Jones. So I wonder what was going through his mind when he said this. I'm not going to necessarily disagree with it, but it is a fun conversation to have because a year ago, before Tua got hurt, Tua definitely going to be the number one overall pick, can't miss prospect. And Tua ended up being the second quarterback off that board. And right now, people are saying the Dolphins made a mistake because they could have drafted Justin Herbert and did it. So let me just be clear on this. I'm not writing Tua off. I think the world of Tua. I still think Tua could be a good quarterback, but he's got to show us something this year. His stud receiver, and Mac Jones stud wide receiver. But you can make a case to a stud wide receiver, even with Ruggs there and even with Jerry Jeudy there. When you look back at the career, he's had a large sample size of both. And he said he'd rather play with Mac Jones. So that could be based off a few things here or a few lines of thinking. Maybe it's because of the recency bias of this past year and this was the best year of Devontae Smith's career. Could it also maybe be, and I don't think you're prepared to answer this question, but Devontae Smith is a smart kid. Maybe he's saying, and I don't think this is the case, hey, Tua's already drafted. Why wouldn't I try to go with my teammate? Why would I try to put my teammate down who's looking to go earlier in the first round where they currently have him going somewhere in the first round? Why would I say to myself, Tua, or that team Tua, when I could say Mac, and who knows who the team that's asking the question? Maybe it's a team that's interested in Mac, right? If I'm asking that team, it's not necessarily what I think of Devontae Smith. It's more so what I think of Mac Jones. And he could also maybe just really feel that way. Now, I'm a believer in Mac Jones. I like Mac Jones's game. And I know some are going to say, oh, well, it's just about the talent. Did the talent help at Alabama? Absolutely. But you watch the throws that Mac Jones made? I think Mac Jones could be a good quarterback. I do. That's going to be a fun debate, though, for years to come. Mac Jones, Tua, and also throw Jalen Hurts in the conversation. All 3 former Alabama quarterbacks. Now, here's one thing I did think of, though. This could actually not go in the best of ways for one Devontae Smith. 3rd overall, you could get drafted by the Dolphins. Hey, Tua, sorry about that one. Well, I guess you'll make up for it if you're catching 12, 13 touchdowns a year from Tua Tagovailoa and get the Tua career back in the right direction. Who would you rather have, though? I'll ask you that question. Between those 3 quarterbacks, would you rather rock with Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones, or Tua Tagovailoa? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll do a news brief next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So each and every day, or almost each and every day, about 4:30, 4 o'clock, whenever I'm making my way into the office, adjacent to our office is Starbucks. So I go in and I get a medium or a large iced coffee. I'm still not good with their brand, the Venti, Grande, whatever they want to call it. Because, right, Grande is large in Spanish. But at Starbucks, a Grande is a medium, I think. And a Venti is a large, which always confuses me. So regardless, not to get into the classification of the Starbucks cups. They're starting to become big fans of me, though. Zach, how you doing? Because I guess every day you see me walk in at 4:30, you develop a little relationship with the three people behind the desk. How's your weekend? Oh, like today, I was in a little bit later than normal, and a little bit later than what usually happens. So I get my Starbucks coffee. I drink it before the show. Iced coffee. Doesn't matter that it's raining and it's snowy here in New York and it's freezing. I don't like hot coffee. I don't like regular coffee. I'm a black iced coffee type of guy. And then throughout the show, I will use the same cup. Some days I'll rinse it out. Other days I'll just go right to the machine and I put water in it. So during the break, I'm filling up my large Starbucks cup of coffee today. The coffee's already done. And I'm putting some high-quality H2O in it. There's a guy at the vending machine who he's clearing out the vending machine. He's restocking the vending machine. And I guess there's things in our vending machine that have an expiration date. Now, you would assume that you would just toss the stuff that is expired out of the vending machine in the trash can. No. So I'm there, and the gentleman goes to me, nice guy, goes, you want it to take from the vending machine? It's like, I can just take whatever I want? What is this, a five-finger discount type of day? He goes, no, we have some expired chips. I go, expired chips? He goes, don't worry. He goes, these are only a month old. I've devoured these things 3-4 months down the road. Now, did you know this? Did you know that chips could expire?
Zero clue.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought. Everything has to have an expiration date. But could chips be questionable to eat if they're... let me see the bag. I did take a bag. I'm going to try some of them. January 12th. So we're over a month. You think these are good to eat? I would say so, right?
100%. I would not, like... I didn't even realize, honestly, that they even had, like,
ooh,
on the bag.
Where... the entire bag.
Hopefully you didn't spill them all. You can't even try them. There you go.
So these are Miss Vicky's,
okay,
kettle cooked potato chips, jalapeno flavor.
Ooh.
No artificial preservatives or flavors.
Ooh, now that could be troublesome.
It's troublesome because if they're spicy, these next 10, 15 minutes of the segment are not going to be enjoyable.
Artificial preservatives. Hopefully they can stay fresh.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Need some of that, you know.
All right, let's see. I'm not just going to take one chip. I'll take a handful.
You hear the crunching. This is on the air. This is live. Eating expired chips.
You have no clue.
Really?
It tastes normal.
Makes sense.
All right. A little.
Uh-oh.
Now that I say that.
Uh-oh.
On the second. On the second and third chew. Like a little bit. Like a if I'm saying out of 100, 2% stale. You would not. I would eat the entire bag of chips, what I'm saying. Maybe it's just the flavoring of the chip. But for like a second, now, hold on. I know Portnoy does like one bite, everyone knows the rules, but if we're going to be fair here by the potato chip, I guess you should try a second go around. These are a little bit spicy. Wow. I was not using my head. I was once doing a remote show at a Buffalo Wild Wings, so I was doing local radio, and they had the Blazing Hot Challenge, and I took the wing sauce and did a competition against my producer, dunked the fries in there. Hour left in the show was not a good idea. So I hope I'm able to recover for the next 3 hours. I did not learn my lesson. But these aren't terribly spicy, but a little bit spicy. They got a kick.
I was just going to ask, do you want me to legitimately go get some water?
I got my water from the
just
Starbucks.
Just making sure you're prepared. That's all.
Bite, no stale. No stale flavor.
I was just going to ask, if you didn't know they were expired, I know it's obviously hard because
clue.
You would have no, like, there's nothing, like, definitive where say, oh, this is
if you
like
just
bad
tossed
batch.
Me these bag of chips, or if I went to the machine an hour early before they cleared them out, yeah. Would have no clue. Would it even look? All right, so one out of two. One, a little bit of stale. Second, none. Let's try it third time here. Perfect. No clue. These are fine. Month-old chips, who cares, right?
I don't want to be a bad guy here. I want to ask this question. Is there any...
Wait, you don't want to be a bad guy. How are you going to be a bad guy asking about chips?
Well, not about chips. The guy at the vending machine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are we going to get on him for not doing his job for over a month?
Well, hold on.
Six weeks.
Now, time out.
Have stale chips
to be
in there,
fair.
Technically.
Especially with how our company operates. And the build, I don't know if it's a building or a company issue, number one. Number two, that is a good point. Why wasn't he here a month ago?
That's 6 weeks,
now,
legitimately.
Is that on him or is that more so on his employer? Or maybe it's on our employer for not making sure that we got fresh chips in the vending machine. I'm just going to say, because remember, we're in the middle of a pandemic here. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't think the potato chips in the machines are priority number one. I'm just happy that we got sanitizer and wipes. And we got masks floating around the studio on those stands. As long as those things get restocked, I'm good. If the chips, which, let's be real, when was the last time you went to the vending machine while at work?
A few weeks ago.
Yeah, like a bag of peanuts,
right.
Some chips, a cookie here and there. You're not going there often. And with how fewer people there are, I don't think it's the end of the world. Now, normal times, those chips, there's some days you go and it looks like we don't even have anything in those vending machines. So maybe it is a bigger problem than what we think here. Look at you, Ryan Tracy. All the other producers may bash you. Sean Mraz bash you. DeCelestino, I thought was on your team today, said, there's no way you're a Rick Ross guy. He laughed when I asked you if you listened to the Rick Ross concert that came out, the 24 minutes. So, I don't know. I would say
that messed up.
I would say that you're a team player. But I don't know if the locker room is reciprocating that team player feeling to you and acknowledging what you do here. I think you need to start being a little bit more authoritative and amongst the other producers, show that I'm not messing around now. I'm that weekday producer Monday through Friday. You can't just disrespect me like I'm the weekend producer guy. You gotta get on that, all right?
You know what? I think I'm going to stop caring about people. Maybe that's what I got to do. I was looking out for you, and I still look out for you. Mm-hmm. But the other producers...
But it's different. We're a team.
Expired chips. Exactly. Oh, D-Cell wants to get expired chips? Ah, go in there. They're fresh. Don't worry, D-Cell. They're all good. Sean, get in there.
Yeah, D-Cell and you were on the same team last week. Now, enemies. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Cam wasn't Superman last year in New England. Is he going to fly with the Pats again next year? Cam said if it was up to him, he would definitely return to the Patriots in 2021. This courtesy of I Am an Athlete podcast.
Yes. Hell yes.
Especially definitely with the offseason, you get offseason, you got OTAs.
Everything. I don't have to. I'm getting tired of changing, bro. I'm at a point in my career, bro. I know it. I know way more than I knew last year.
Correct.
Now, you give me what you just said.
Yeah. It's a different ball game. It's a different ball game.
Okay. Not even that. A system with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know me. Doughboy knows me. Jacoby knows me. Bud
Doughboy
knows me. The young tight ends know me. The younger guys that's going to come in, this is how Cam react. Like, we're still trying to flush out the 20 years of how it used to be. And I'm going in and I'm saying, well, that's not me.
Is there a chance you go back to New England?
There's always a chance for everything.
Put it this way. He's not option one to bring back to the Patriots. Now, what else is on the free agency market? Ryan Fitzpatrick? Jacoby Brissett? Let's assume they don't make a trade for Jimmy G. Are they going to draft a quarterback at 15? Who knows with Belichick? Put it this way, being a Pats fan, if Cam comes back, I'm not jumping for joy because he's not been a good quarterback the last 3 years, and he's been banged up. Is he someone easy to root for? Is he easily someone you can root for? Yes, absolutely. This year, he's very enjoyable, except when he was playing. He said all the right things. He was a leader. The locker room liked him, unlike you, Ryan Tracy. The locker room in Foxborough, they actually like one of their teammates. So I'd be okay with the options at hand if Cam comes back, but for 1 year, he's not the long-term answer. So part of me, or most of me, wants to say, bring in someone that's going to be your long-term answer, and let's see what happens. Michael Pittman says he won't give up number 11. He's now Carson Wentz's new wide receiver. Carson Wentz did wear 11 in Philadelphia. Now with the Colts, looks like Carson's going to need a new number, according to TMZ Sports.
I spoke to him, and he was just seeing, like, how like, locked in I was to 11, and I told him that I was locked in, and he was like, that's cool, bro, because I'm probably going to switch anyway.
I think Carson Wentz can be a little bit sensitive about the number. Now, Michael Pittman, rookie deal, second-round draft pick. Carson Wentz already has a $100 million-something dollar deal. Could be a negotiation tactic. But according to Michael Pittman, it doesn't matter about the price. That's my number, number 11. So maybe Wentz is going for that new look and that new fresh start with the Colts. I don't know with how sensitive Mr. Wentz is. Not a good start to that relationship. And that's his best wide receiver there right now, with not knowing if T.Y. Hilton's going to come back. I'll believe it when I see it if Wentz is not wearing 11. Paul George has asked if he wanted to keep playing in the fourth quarter. If you remember last night, played 33 minutes, did not play the final three, though.
You had said the other night that you probably couldn't have played 30, but you had 33 tonight. Were you feeling okay, though?
I was ready. I was ready to go. I wanted to keep going.
I thought he should have played more. I get the long haul, but playing him already 33 minutes. Could it go to 36? That's the NBA, though. Chris G on Twitter says, I live in Alaska, and regardless of the temp, I always only drink iced coffees, so you're not alone, bro. Me and Chris, main men right there. Iced coffee drinkers, my main man. QB Carousel next. We'll see who we stop off with next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.